Oh, during the summer holidays, the hay was all cut and it was put into bales, and Charlie Oskin had a farm, and we just went down and made a camp out of all these hay bales. We had a lovely time. When it was time to go home, poor Jeanette, she couldn't find one of her shoes, and she had to go home one shoe missing. So anyway, she managed to get away with it because her mum, for some reason or other, I don't know, her mum didn't know that much about her missing shoe. The next morning, though, she did know. Charlie Oskin had a horse and cart, and he used to deliver the milk and vegetables to every household in Poole. So coming along, what he had on board was a shoe. So every household he went to, he said, "Is this your girl's shoe? Or, you know, is this your shoe?" And got to where Jeanette had lived, and my gosh, if you could have seen Millie, that was her mum's name, Millie, her face, well, poor Jeanette was barred for the rest of the summer holidays. She wasn't allowed out. But anyway, she found the Charlie found the shoe. Oh, I have this Polish surname which baffles people when they look at it and think, oh, how do I pronounce that? It's S-Z-O-K-A, which is pronounced shocker. When my youngest son was small, people were amazed that he could, at 2 to 3, he could spell it, because every time we went somewhere, we would have to spell it out to people, or you would look at somebody if he was waiting for an appointment, and they would come out and say, "Tristan," and then they couldn't pronounce it, so we knew it was us. So with them, we would just say, "Shocker." and then they would beam at us, you know, and they knew it was us. Yeah. Okay. My mother-in-law was born and lived in Alet, which is just outside of Truro. And she lived on this acre and a fifth, which they used to till and had livestock and all there. And she lived there with her mother and her three half-brothers. And I think there was one sister who were much older than her. And when she was at the age where she was looking for young men, she went into Toro and met this Polish guy who was called Stanislaw Szoka, and they fell in love. And but there was a lot of resistance from her father, because of him being foreign, and they lived in the country, out in the country. Alet at that time was more countrified than Truro, and found it really difficult mixing with people that were from different places, different races. So she had to overcome lots of things around those issues at that time. And she got married without her father going to the wedding, because he refused to go to the wedding. But she did. And what happened was, he came over, he fought in the war for us. He was living in Poland on the Russian-Polish border when the Russians invaded and took their land, and then he was then put into the Russian army. He had to fight the Russian army. But at one stage, I'm not quite sure about the story, but one stage he was then drafted into the Polish army. And then he fought alongside of the British army. But he got injured during the war, and then was shipped over to Truro to work on the land here. And that's when he met his wife, Thelma, my mother-in-law. And unfortunately, he died quite young at 55. But it's always a story to tell about the Polish people. And just recently, we've had some relatives come over from Poland, which was really nice. Well, only last week. So we've still got contacts there. There.
Mm. Amazing. Mm. Absolutely amazing.
Oh, dear. Right. I became a volunteer at the Heartlands after back in March. They were asking for people to come along and help them regenerate part of the Heartlands. So while during this meeting, it was said that there was a polytunnel down the side by the nursery. And I thought, I didn't know there was a polytunnel. And they said, oh, come, we'll show you. So off we go and looks at this polytunnel. Well, I was amazed. When I got there, there was this 60-foot polytunnel with nothing in it, nothing more than a part of a staging with no wood on it, but just metal posts there, nothing whatsoever. I was so incensed with it that I said, why isn't that running? They said, oh, nobody's taking it on. We were too busy on other things. And I said, can I take it on? So, and they said, yes, carry on. So I said, right, okay. So it's up and running. We are now have 12 people having 12-foot spaces of staging and one big square, piece in the middle. Raised bed, sorry, I lost my train of thought. A raised bed in the middle, which pots can, you can use it for pots or if you want to put earth in it. So there are 12 people now. They're growing stock. It's alive. It's got tomatoes, courgettes. Everybody's got something different. And we help each other out. If somebody can't, we've made a WhatsApp group so that people can then come and water when they can. We've got a big tank of water that's all been set up that's got a hose so we don't have to carry water. The only thing you have to do is come and enjoy and grow.
Thank you, Anne. Absolutely. Okay, so Jenny, and we're at Crescent Kernow, and we've got the lovely Anne with us today. Here we go.
Oh, mine's about a quilt. 35 years ago, women met from the WI at Carnbrae on a Monday evening, and I joined in with them sometimes because my mum wasn't always able to walk there and she didn't like being out at night. So I joined in at some times with them to help make this quilt. And they were based at Paul Wesley Chapel, which is on the main road between Camborne and Redruth at Paul. The chapel needed money for repairs. And it was discussed how to raise this money. And the chapel's policy at that time wouldn't allow them to hold a raffle. So after great debate, it was decided that the skills of the women to make a quilt to sell. Also to use recycled materials, and this was 35 years ago. And that helped to keep the cost down and follow the tradition back then, make do amend. During these sessions, they related to each other's stories from the past. As a young woman, my mum and her sister sang in the choir at the chapel. Because of this connection, my aunt bought the quilt for me. And it's still now home on my bed. And it's so refreshing to see it because it's light and flowery and so much love in it. And lots of times I go in there and just lie on it because it just fills me with love. Unfortunately, most of these ladies have died, but I have photographs of the quilt and photographs of these ladies that brought their love and their experience to making this quilt.
Thank you. This is Jenny again with the lovely Anne again. We've got a second story.
I was born in Poole, which is in between Camborne and Redruth. And there I was born at Pumpfield Row, which is right in the middle of Poole. And there was a long row of houses that in most of the houses had children. So I was never without a friend, never without anybody to play with. And we joined forces, and there was lots of times when we got into all sorts of mischief together, and we had freedom. We could go anywhere as long as we were back home for 12 o'clock for something to eat, and then we would go again, and then we would have to be back home for 5 for tea. Now, one time, we would go up to Carnbrae, and there was one of the children was a lot younger, but he wanted to go, Geoffrey. And he wanted to go, and his mum was rather, she cosseted him quite a bit, and she was afraid that he's much younger, and you're all older. Anyway, in the end, after lots of persuasions and Geoffrey crying and wanting to go, she allowed him to go. So there was quite a few children that we walked up from Poole up the back over the Carnbrae station all the way to the top of Carnbrae, and did all sorts of things on the sliding rock in over to the castle, and then we were looking for erts, what we called erts, which most people, I think, may call them blueberries, but they were down in, it was at the end of the summer holidays, they were down in the grass, and you had to look very closely, and they were really tiny, purpley, blue, like blueberries, but we called them erts. And we always tried to pick them. Well, we may pick them, but we ate more than we took home. Anyway, one time when we was up there, at this time when we went up there with Geoffrey with us, we were playing and walking around and jumping around. All of a sudden, Geoffrey wanted to go to the toilet. So we said to him, "Oh, go behind the bush. Go behind the bush, Geoffrey." No, he couldn't do that. And they said, "Oh, go on, you can do that." So he sort of walked off, and we were sort of around and playing and everything. And we must have, because he didn't usually go with us because he was younger, somehow or other we got entrenched in what we were doing and forgot about Geoffrey wanting to go to the toilet. Then when it was time to sort of think about coming home, or nearer that time, or moving on from the top of Carnbrae down to the well, somebody said, "Well, where's Geoffrey?" And then we couldn't find Geoffrey. Oh my gosh, there was panic then. Where is Geoffrey? Where did he go? Oh my God, he wanted to go to the toilet. Where did he go? So we looked around all around the top of Carnbrae, and then we made our way down over Carnbrae, and we were afraid go home, because Geoffrey's mum. We was afraid of her. But in the end, we had to go back. But what had happened was Geoffrey had run all the way home on his own, and he was back at home on his own. Wow, we were so relieved, but we did have stick from his mum. Really. Right, and Geoffrey was never allowed to go again.
Lovely.